look like to you? And sometimes we might have some negative connotations to, I don't want to be classified as a community project, but what it is not, and I'll explain it a little bit as we go along, but what it is not is it's not a charity case. That's not what we are, but we're a work in progress. Life is full of unexpected twists and turns, and often changes happen extremely quickly. Sometimes they change, you know, from month to month or week to week, but sometimes those changes happen, you know, day by day or even hour by hour, where we're never quite knowing what tomorrow holds, what the next hour holds. We go through life in a world with sin and the effects of sin, and we bear and live through much of its ugliness, much of the pain and suffering of this sinful world that we live in. If we're not going through something currently, we know that we will, or we have, or we know somebody who has or is currently going through something at any given moment. Often people will feel all alone in their struggle and their challenges that they're going through. And yet we're living in this crowded world where there's people all around us, even in the sanctuary today. There might be some of you who are feeling lonely in your journey, even surrounded by a bunch of people. Paul Tripp says this: "We weren't created to be independent, autonomous, or self-sufficient. We were made to live in a humble, worshipful, and loving dependency upon God, and in a loving and humble interdependency with others. Our lives were designed to be community projects. Yet the foolishness of sin tells us that we have all that we need within ourselves." That's what the world is teaching, right? That's what we see all around us. You have everything that you need to succeed. You have everything that you need to do well. You don't have to depend on, rely on, or care about anybody else or allow them to speak into your life, because you have everything that you need. That's a lie of the enemy. So Paul goes on to say this: "So we settle for relationships that never go below the casual. We defend ourselves when the people around us point out a weakness or a wrong. We hold our struggles within, not taking advantage of the resources that God has given us in others." Paul Tripp says our lives were designed to be community projects. Have you ever considered yourself to be a community project? I think lots of questions arise. And that actually might be quite offensive to some. How dare you call me a community project? I have things together. But often we're so quick to point out others who we see as community projects. So you can't consider me a community project. I have all of these things together, yet we're very quick to see others and their faults and their weaknesses. Of course, they're a community project. But what if we were to look in the mirror and examine ourselves with the same criteria or critiquing that we examine others with? We would soon realize that, yeah, you know what? I have areas that I need somebody to speak into, to build up. But we struggle to see, to view ourselves in that light. That we need community. That we need others to speak into our lives. That is challenging. Yet most of us would agree with a proverb. There's actually an African proverb that says it takes a village to raise a child. I think we would agree with that. Any of you who are going through parenthood right now, it's like, man, we could use a lot of help now. It's a big benefit when people help us out. Whether it's just helping out with you know, getting by, feeding a child, taking them to, you know, as they start educating them, as going to school, taking them to sporting events, all of those different things, taking them to church, taking them to connect, all of those things that we are able to speak into their lives, teaching them some things, just some helpful things and tips as we go through life. What is the benefit of knowledge? It's so huge and so great. And so we ask older people to speak into our lives because they have so much wisdom as they've gone through things, and they can speak into our lives. It takes a village to raise a child. And I believe the same principle is true for the followers of Jesus. Those who are adopted as his children, born of God, born of the Spirit, we will benefit from having a community of others speak into our lives. We will benefit from having other people see things that we aren't able to see, that we overlook, that we're blind to, because we just, this is what we see. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. That's the benefit of community. Community sharpens us. It makes us better. It's about improving us. It's about building us up. It's about bringing restoration to us when we're broken, when we're hurting, when we're stumbling, when we're falling. It's to help us in hardship, in hard times, when we're going through struggles, when we're going through challenges. And so this morning I want to look at Paul as he teaches us that we are better together. It's for our benefit. It's for our spiritual well-being to live in community with followers of Jesus. So we're going to look at Galatians 6, verse 1 and 2, two verses. We're just going to look at them, and we're going to walk through these two verses this morning. But as you're turning there in your Bibles, I just want to pray. Just commit our time to the Lord. Holy Spirit, we come before you, and Jesus, we thank you that you are here, that you are present. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are our teacher. And Father, this morning as we look into your word, God, would you teach us your truths, how we benefit from living in community, walking in community, and how it builds us up as a body of believers. Father, we thank you, and we trust that we will hear from you this morning. We pray this in Jesus' holy name, amen. Paul is giving us some guidance for our journey together as a community of believers. But it's interesting, so we're going to read Galatians 6, 1 and 2, but I don't think it's a coincidence that if you read chapter 5, before he gets into this whole teaching about what it is to walk in community, he goes through the fruit of the Spirit. This is what a child of God looks like. This is how they live. They're loving, they're caring, they're compassionate, they're faithful. All of these attributes are the qualities of a child of God, of a follower of Jesus. And so before you walk into Galatians 6, verse 1 and 2, you need to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit because you're going to need it. You're going to need to be loving. You're going to need to be patient and kind and forgiving, long-suffering, those things. And then he goes into Galatians 6, verse 1 and 2. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. We're going to come back to verse 1 in a little bit, but we're going to start with verse 2. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. There's three essentials to bearing others' burdens. There's probably more, but we're just going to look at three this morning. And the first one that we're going to look at is depend on one another. Paul is talking about dependence on one another because of the relational connection in Christ. This is a principle that it's just littered throughout his writings. And in 1 Corinthians 12:26 says, if one member suffers, all suffer together. So if one of us, we're all of the same body, if one of us is suffering, if one of us is struggling, it affects all of us, it impacts all of us, because we're walking together in relationship, we're walking together in community. If one member is honored, all rejoice. And then in Romans 15, verse 1, it says, "Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength." And look at this. "And not just please ourselves." Not just please ourselves. Look to the other. Don't be so self-absorbed. The new life we've been born into through Christ is shared life. It's a shared life. It's community life. And the Greek word used to describe the shared life of the people of God was koinonia. And our English word that we use is fellowship. But fellowship is too limited to encompass the meaning of the Greek word koinonia. Because koinonia means that we're sharing, all kinds of sharing, sharing in friendships, being partners in the gospel, sharing material possessions, having fellowship in Christ, sharing life together in the Spirit, and above all, koinonia is fellowship with God. "That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you may have fellowship, that you may share in." We share that life we share with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, we share with each other. In koinonia, we're attached to each other. To first and foremost to Christ, but then to each other and to God. Our life is a shared life where we bear one another's burdens. So be willing to depend on others for all kinds of things. Community life is a shared life. Be willing to care for others when they are going through struggles and challenges. When you see it, this is why it says, don't be so self-absorbed. Don't keep looking to yourself. Look to others so that you know when they're going through struggles. It's not just about them coming to you, being able to come to you, but you're actually seeing that they're going through struggles and challenges. And then is where we walk through the journey, the challenge, the struggle, the trial that they're going through. It's a shared life. We share in that load. When somebody is grieving, we walk beside them. We share in that grief. When somebody is hurting because they've lost a job, we hurt with them. And we walk beside them. And secondly, listening is essential to living this shared life. How good are you at listening? Like, I mean, really, how good are you at listening? I've probably shared this before, but I'm still learning, but I suck at listening. Oh, I can hear things. My tendency is when I'm listening to somebody, my tendency is, they'll start talking, and if they start talk for a minute or 5 minutes or a paragraph's worth, you know, and I find something that's really interesting here that I want to ask them about or talk to them about, you know, at the very beginning of the conversation, I will hang on to that thought. I will not hear anything else that they say, but this is the thought I will hang on to. And so I haven't heard anything. They may have actually even explained that question that I have born out of the beginning of their sentence or their paragraph that they're talking about, but I just didn't listen. And I found that out as we started to do marriage prep classes. That I'm a poor listener. Oh my goodness. We've gone through exercises with people getting married and it's dorky and they don't like it. And it's so if we've married you, you've gone through these active listening exercises that help us to listen, to actually hear and understand what somebody is saying. If you listen to hear, active listening involves listening, but it involves communicating back. "This is what I heard you say. Is that correct?" And it allows opportunity for the other person to respond and say, "Yeah." Or, "No, that's not at all what I'm saying. You didn't hear me." But it's about being able to communicate. Because is there anything that makes you feel more valued or appreciated than we are being listened to by someone? When someone listens to you, they are saying, "You know what? I value you. You're important. I'm going to hear you, and I'm going to receive what you are saying." When you listen, the chasm between you and the person you're listening to is bridged. Often there's a divide that's happened. And when we begin to listen and to understand to each other, that chasm is collapsed. There's a bridge that crosses it, and we can walk in community. You will listen with sensitivity. When you listen to hear, you will begin to feel the pain of the other person, the frustrations, the anguish. Sometimes feeling these and identifying a problem, even when the other person isn't really trying to share a problem with you, but you recognize that there's a problem there because they're sharing their feelings so explicitly. And when we listen to this level, we begin to share to this level with one another, we'll take that friendship to a deeper, more intimate level in our walk together in community. Guys, I think, struggle with this a lot. I struggle with this a lot. When we listen, we don't always have to listen to fix. We just have to listen. My wife tells me, your daughter didn't actually want you to fix the problem. She wanted you to listen. Yeah, but I got the solution. I got it right here. Boom. I didn't even hear the whole problem, but I can fix it. That friend, to be that community. And if something is needed, trust the Holy Spirit will reveal the answer to you and the words. Trust in the Holy Spirit. And then thirdly, be available. Another essential for community life is availability, being available to each other, available in love. That's what Paul is talking about when he's talking about bear one another's burdens. Be available to when somebody is going through a struggle or a challenge. Well, yeah, you know, hey, what's, often we ask the question, hey, what's going on in your life? Well, you know, this. Oh, I'm so busy, otherwise I would help you. I'm so busy with my life. I'm so busy with my things, otherwise I'd help you. Don't say that. Don't offer help in that way. That's not helpful. Be available. And when we are bearing one another's, it's including, instructing young believers, older believers, encouraging stumbling saints. It includes comforting those who have lost loved ones, visiting the sick, the lonely, helping those who are in financial hardship, counseling and advising in life's complicated messes that we find ourselves in, talking and guiding each other through the Word of God and to a deeper understanding and through prayer. And it takes time. And we're going to have to be dependable. We're going to have to give some things up. But I think it's that important to walk in community that it's so beneficial as we will reap the benefits of what that looks like in our lives and also as we see others grow in their faith in Jesus. See, that's part of community life. We're connected in that way. But this burden bearing isn't a legal obligation because it goes far beyond the acts of the law, the letter of the law. It's motivated by grace and love. At the heart of bearing one another's burdens is the community life of the follower of Jesus in the ministry of spiritual care and support for others, guidance and restoration. That's what Paul is talking about in Galatians 6, verse 1. Brethren, brothers and sisters, those who are of the faith, those who are followers of Jesus, all of you, this is an intimate term that he's using, brothers and sisters, even if anyone is caught in a trespass, even if you slip up, because as a follower of Jesus, we will slip up, we will sin, but we're not controlled by, governed by sin. But we do sin. We know that. Our word trespass comes from a word that literally means to take a false step, to take a wrong step, a move, slip on the ice, as it were. Slip when you're walking on a dangerous path. We will slip. Even if you slip, trespass, sin. You who are spiritual, not some elite person. This isn't speaking to some elitist. This isn't speaking to some spiritual person that is we consider to be high above all else. Paul isn't saying only those who are mature. Paul is simply speaking to believers who are filled with, controlled by the Spirit, walking by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, guided by the Spirit. Paul doesn't say you who are sinless, because nobody fits that category. What he does say is you who are spiritual. It's important that We help one another, you who are spiritual. This is an obligation that you have. And it's different from somebody who is not walking a spirit-filled life. Don't go to them to help build you up, to help lift you up, to encourage you. Because if they're dealing with the same struggles, the same challenges, how are they going to offer you any good advice? Because they haven't either taken good advice or they haven't found that good advice to live and walk in victory. Rather, those who are spiritual do the building up. Because we can't expect anyone living in blatant sin, disobedience to God, to give us any beneficial counsel at all. So Paul addresses those who are spiritual. You have a responsibility through the empowering of the Holy Spirit to live a life worthy of your calling so that when the opportunity arises, you can speak into the life of someone who is struggling, going through a hardship. It's for the purpose of building them up. And he goes on to say in this verse, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. What is the purpose? What is the objective? Is it to point out somebody's sin, their shortcomings, their slippings, so that we can put our foot on their back and hold them down with pride, say, at least I'm not like him? That's not what it's about. It's talking about restoration. It's talking about building up. When somebody falls, you know what? You get down on their level. You get down with them and you help them pick them up. You get down to where they're hurting. That's what restoration is about. You help them up. You carry them up. It's done from a place of love and compassion. Often we are too quick to judge and we jump all over someone because we feel this sense of spiritual superiority. It's about love and compassion. When we are in community with each other, we have a mutual commitment and desire to see spiritual growth in one another. That's our desire. Do you desire to see spiritual growth in the person that's sitting next to you, in your community of friends, in your community at church, in your community? Is your desire to see them grow spiritually, or do you thrive when they fall? You think that's a ridiculous question. It's not. People thrive when people struggle. It's like, oh good, now I don't have to pull up my socks. Now I don't have to live better, because at least I'm not as bad as that person. But when we are so committed and we desire to see people grow in Christ, it builds the community up. And it's then that we can speak truth into others' lives. Speak truth in love. Speak in a way that we help each other recognize the faults, the weaknesses, the slip, the sin in our lives. Without that kind of involvement, mutual involvement, mutual concern for each other, we remain locked in our own worlds, and there is little chance of change or little chance of growth. And Paul says, restore him. That's, we want to build it up. How do you do that? In gentleness. Remember, gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit. Our supporting, our correcting, our guiding and restoring activity is in the Spirit of Christ, who is gentle and calls us to be gentle. We handle each person with a kind of gentle care that we'd want to be handled with, that we would handle our most prized possession. That's how we handle other people, is with that kind of gentleness. We have to remember how delicate and sensitive it is to address each other's sins and weakness. We're emotional, fragile people. You don't come in breaking down doors, thundering with, you know, everything blazing because we're going to make some changes. Rather, we respect and we come in with privacy, with gentleness, and we respect privacy and dignity and self-esteem. Remember that what is worthwhile is not accomplished by mere reproof and rebuke. Our beauty is not to condemn, but to restore. Oh, yeah. I'm not talking about we just chalk it up to, yeah, whatever, oh, it's okay, everything's okay. That's not what I'm saying. We are firm. We reveal the truth. We reveal the hurt. And also, we need to remember that as we walk with somebody, as we point them out, remember how easy it is for us to fall into the ditch as we are helping someone else out who is struggling. That's why we need so much humility as we walk. But we are gentle, recognizing that the stakes are high because eternity depends on it. Also remember, we too are so susceptible to sin, to slip. How often we look to ourselves, but remember that we too are subject to that same weakness. Paul is giving us some clear warnings here. We are all vulnerable, any of us. Be careful about spiritual overconfidence. Remember Peter? Peter had a bit of spiritual overconfidence, and he's saying, I'm with you to the end, man. Jesus, I'm with you right to the bitter end, and no time at all, he's turning back, and he's like, you just denied Jesus 3 times. We're so susceptible to stumbling. So be humble enough to know you're not perfect, and that you need help and the benefit of community on your own spiritual journey. We will always be a progress in work. We were always a community project that we can benefit. It doesn't matter how young, how old, how long you've been in the faith. People need to speak into our lives. God is still shaping all of us. He desires you to be, he has this picture of who he desires you to be, and he is shaping you, molding you into the person that he wants. We are all projects. Pictures of what the potter has envisioned in his mind, and he's shaping and molding, pressing. And God wants to use community of others to be able to do some of that molding and shaping as well. And in the context of community of believers, we have the ability to grow. That's the ultimate goal, is growth, spiritual growth. And it's in that context of community of believers that we will grow in our faith in Jesus Christ, trust him, and walk in obedience. It is the best place in community. It's the best place to find victory over sin, over habitual sin, over continually slipping. Oh, you have good intentions, but you don't tell anybody of the struggle you have in no time at all. You're back to square one. It's so, so disappointing and so defeating. And growing up, I have attended church all of my life. There were times I was just living in blatant sin and didn't care. There are times where I wanted to walk the pastor, the speaker, the preacher, he was telling me about these things, and I genuinely wanted to walk in victory in some area of my life. But I was so scared to tell anybody, because what if I fail again? What if I fall again? It's so shameful. Because history tells me that I'm going to fall again, and I'm too ashamed to tell somebody to come walk beside me, because I'm sure to fail again. I don't want anybody to see that. I've gone to church all my life. I should have this knowledge, understanding of who I am in Christ, but I didn't. I felt too ashamed to ask. You've gone to church all your life and you don't know that? Why was I afraid? Because I've seen that. But we are a community where we're supposed to be able to connect and love and carry each other's burdens and hold each other up when we're those who are more spiritual, hold those up who are weak. We need to be a place where it doesn't matter how long you've gone to church. When we have a question, we need to be in a community where we can say, I just don't get that, and not be shamed. In community projects, it can't ever be about shaming one who struggles with sin. Oh, if you don't blatantly don't want to deal with it, that's another story. But sometimes we fall time and time again. Do we just give up? In community projects, it's not about saying, you made your bed, now lie in it. Clearly, the Bible teaches that we walk together, we pick each other up. I mean, there is a point where there's no movement, no change. We need to address that too, though. I don't know where you're at this morning. I mean, we struggle with all kinds of things. Are you in this journey alone? We're living in community. Maybe it's a child. Maybe your children aren't walking with the Lord. That's heavy. I've talked to people in this congregation. That's heavy on our hearts and our minds. And because we walk in community, I carry that with them. Maybe you're going through grief, loss of a loved one. Maybe you've been diagnosed with a disease, an illness. Maybe you struggle with mental illness. You're all alone. We don't need to be alone. Community is so important. Having people build into our lives to walk with. Maybe it's money problems, job issues, school. School's coming up. Maybe you're terrified of going into school. Maybe you're somebody who graduated grade 12 this past year. You're going to university, you're going to college, you're going to a workplace, and you're scared. You need somebody to talk to. Be in community with others. I don't know what your struggle is, what your challenge is, but I know that it's so much better when we are walking in community with someone else, when someone is there to lift you up, to carry you, or just to listen to you. Those are so powerful. Often it seems so humiliating, though, that I don't want to expose my weaknesses. I don't want to expose all my failures, what I'm dealing with. I don't want to do that. Do you know what I was told when I said that? Oh, don't worry. We already know you're not perfect. Isn't that encouraging? They already knew it. I didn't have to try and pretend anymore. It's beautiful to be free. Because we all know we're not perfect. None of us is perfect. But I thought I had played it so cool. I walked the right walk.
Hey, what's up?
I'm perfect. Oh, what a beautiful thing when we come to the place and recognize we're not perfect and others already know we're not. So it's okay. Remember, it takes a community to raise followers of Jesus who are continually being transformed more and more into the person of Jesus. That's our desire. That's our goal. That's why we do it. We don't do it because somehow it makes us feel better or good somehow in any other way or promotes us to a higher level of Christianity. But no, it makes us more Christ-like, more in the image of what God has planned for us. And in community projects, we have to remember that we need to give as well as receive. We can't be at a place where it's all about you all the time. Yeah, you build into me, you build into me, and you build into me. That's not what it's about. Community is about the back and forth, the life together, the walking, the journey together. Oh, my desire, church, is that we would walk in unity and community in such a way that our lives are transformed by Jesus and that the world sees that we are different, that love, the crazy love that we have for one another is absolutely ridiculous, and people's lives are transformed. That's what happened in the book of Acts. That's what happened in the book of Acts. These people couldn't believe what was going on. Yeah, these people are crazy. They're radical. They're not believing what we're supposed to believe, but man, they love each other so well. They carry each other's burdens so well. That's what I want for our church. And I want your burdens to be carried. And I want you to carry others' burdens. Man, when we're not walking in community with a group of people, we are robbing them of the gifts that God has given to you and the strengths that He's given to you. Consider, please consider how you can get involved in community. Like I said, Life Groups is kicking off in September. We need leaders. How can you build into people's lives in this community? Let's pray. Lord God and loving Heavenly Father, thank you for this community that you have invited us into, you've called us into. Thank you for this common desire and passion that we have, that is Jesus. It takes all of the other distractions and the things that we are different about. It takes those away, and we just have this common goal of Jesus. I want to make Jesus famous. I want to know Jesus more. I want others to know more about Jesus. Oh God, I pray that we would be a community of believers that loves Jesus and loves others and walks and cares for each other. Pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Just remember.